Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Shaka Hyssop. Now get ready, Shaka, look at your camera, because we're going to get a four box, because Julien Leroy and Stevie Nicol are also with us to discuss the big news coming out of Spain. Sergio Ramos out for at least 4 weeks, which of course means he will miss the Champions League tie against Liverpool. I feel drawn to you, Stevie, to talk about how happy you are about this.
Well, how big a smile would you like, Daniel?
Wow.
Is that okay? Listen, the fact that he's not playing, as much as it hurts Real Madrid, it's definitely a fillip for Liverpool. You know, when you step on the field and you look at the opposition and you see somebody like Ramos on the other side, the only thing you know is, regardless of what you think of him as a player, he's going to make everybody around him better. He's going to put everybody around him at ease. And for the coach, you know that he's going to organise things defensively. In this case, Ramos defensively. So this is a huge blow to them. But as I said, it's a huge fillip for Liverpool.
Yeah, of course. You take a look at Sergio Ramos not playing in Champions League ties, and inevitably, Jules, it's not a surprise that it makes horrible readings for Real Madrid fans. The last 10 matches he didn't feature in, they only won 3, losing 7. Is this as disastrous as you say now Real Madrid don't have a hope?
I think he's more than a defender, more than the best defender. He's the captain, he's the leader of that team. He brings so much more than just defending. And of course, there's hope, there's always hope, because he's still a really good squad. But we've seen without him that Varane is not at his best. Like Stevie said, he makes people around him better. We know that Nacho, who will replace him, is obviously not as good. And you can make the point for maybe Courtois behind him, for Casemiro in front of him. So all of that, you can just imagine all the bearings of that team being very different now. And really, if I'm Zinedine Zidane and Florentino Perez, I'm mad at Luis Enrique and I'm mad at this Spanish team, who thought it was a good idea to bring him on in the 86th minute against Kosovo when you 3-1 up. There's no need to play him at all. Why is he even on the pitch at that time? You don't need to bring him on. And now it's costing Real Madrid, it's costing Sergio Ramos himself, and you still don't know why they played him. What was it? To get another cap? He already has a million caps. He didn't need to play that game, and now it could come back to haunt him and Real Madrid.
It really will, won't it, Shaq?
It very well might. And listen, Sergio Ramos has come in for a lot of criticism on this show, and fairly so.
No, only from that Liverpool
man. I think a lot of that criticism has been fair. And if you're looking at Liverpool and that front three and speculating as to how good they'd be and the man-on-man matchups, you can make what you like of that. The one thing that is an absolute certain is that Sergio Ramos is a big game player and has been a difference maker for Real Madrid in these exact kinds of moments. When he's not on there, that big personality misses. As everybody rightly says, he makes those around him better. When things aren't going your way, you want those big personalities to lean on, to look to. Without him being there, it makes Real Madrid a whole lot less. Even more so than just from a footballing perspective, just from his own leadership acumen and what he means to Real Madrid in these moments.
The Champions League is the one lifeline, isn't it, Stevie, for Liverpool this season? And boy, the cards are very much falling on their lap at the moment. If they don't get through Real Madrid's, it's a big letdown, isn't it, considering what we've just said?
No, I think the pressure's off Liverpool. You know, I'm not sure going out to Real Madrid in the Champions League is a huge letdown.
Yeah, but this isn't Real Madrid of old. This isn't classic Real Madrid. This is Real Madrid. Third in La Liga. Sergio Ramos.
Wait a second. This is not Liverpool of old either. This is a half a team. So, you know, you can say what you like, but Real Madrid are in better shape than Liverpool as far as what they're going to be able to put on the field. Yes, losing Ramos is a huge blow, but after that, it's kind of what they've been using for a lot of the season, or the majority of the season, whereas Liverpool have had the heart ripped out of them. So it'll be a disappointment, yes, and do they have a great chance? Yes, of course they do, because they're still a good team. But this isn't the Liverpool of old, and so to go out to Real Madrid would be disappointing, but not a complete shock or a complete disaster.
Who's in worse shape going into this tie, Jules?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't fancy Nat Phillips against Karim Benzema, for example. I'm not sure the Liverpool midfield, even with Fabinho back in there as the holding midfielder, to face, you know, Kroos and Modric, for example. So I think there's a lot of really interesting matchups everywhere on that pitch. Tactically, it's going to be very interesting. Maybe had Sergio Ramos been fit, Zidane would have reproduced the sort of back three that we've seen a little bit at times in Europe and in La Liga too. Now I'm not sure he can do that with Eder Militao, Varane and Nacho, for example. I don't think he's got the same impact on his team. So it'd be interesting to see what Zidane does. But I think certainly it was 50-50 before the Sergio Ramos injury. Now I think Liverpool have to be slight favourite, but you would not say that they're much, much better than Real Madrid right now in terms of shape, in terms of confidence or even momentum. So again, I think it's really well balanced, and this should be a really, really good tie over the two games.
Meanwhile, Real Madrid and Barcelona featured in a lot of headlines over the last 24 hours after Mino Raiola and Erling Haaland's dad took a road trip around Spain, a very public road trip, Jules, to discuss the future, of course, of Erling Haaland. This was a major media play, wasn't it?
It was huge, which is quite fascinating because, like all of us, they could have used Zoom and still have the same meeting with Joan Laporta or Florentino Perez or whoever you want. But no, they had to travel even in the middle of a pandemic. They made sure that everybody knew what time they were landing, where they were landing, at what time they were taking their cars or the train to go to Madrid. But it was just orchestrated so well that they made sure they had a TV crew everywhere they were pretty much going. And this is fine with me. They're going to go and meet all the clubs who are interested in Erling Haaland, and we know that Chelsea and City are probably next, and maybe there might be others on the way as well, and do all that sort of European road trip if you want, and then they will decide. It's just a show again of Raiola and Alfie Haaland, I guess, about how big their son and client is and how everybody, all the big teams in Europe, want him.
But he's rubbish now, because he didn't score in those three matches for Norway. Kylian Mbappe is rubbish as well now, by the way, because he didn't score in the last three matches for France, which has seen some criticism being thrown his way. This is what he had to say in response to that. Of course, it's tiring, especially when you play for a club in your country. When you give everything from your national team, it is different for the players who play abroad, who only come back to France for the national team. Me, I'm here all the time, so I'm spoken about a lot more, but I was aware of this context when signing for PSG. We will see for the future. Of course, that critics play in my future decision-making too. Jules, this is interesting, isn't it? Because he's pretty much saying, because he's in France, everyone's having a go at him, and if he left, it'd be a lot easier.
Yeah, although he's intelligent enough, and so is his father, to know that if you come to England and the media here and the tabloids and everything, they're not always kind to you. If you go to Spain with the daily newspapers there, it's exactly the same. And wherever he will go, there will be critics if he doesn't play well. And by the way, the critics is more with the national team than with a club level, because Monaco and PSG has always been scoring loads of goals and winning a lot of things. If I take you back to 2018 and the World Cup, he was in such a mood in Russia that even after a good game like the Argentina one or the semi-final one, for example, he would not speak to us in the mix zone, even when he had been man of the match, because he was not happy with the things we were saying or writing, you know, for us, for ESPN, people in France, all of us. He was moody, so moody, because at 19 year old, yeah, he didn't like that criticism when France won the World Cup eventually. So he clearly has an issue with that kind of criticism. I don't really understand why. And really, trust me, we are really good to him back home, even when he's not doing well, like he did in this international break. But if he's not happy with that, I hope for him that he keeps scoring, because the day that stops domestically, then I think the critics would be even worse, and I'm not sure how much he's going to like that.
How much is that just a French thing, Jules?
It is maybe a lot of French. No, it's true, because he would really keep every day, and he will know exactly what's being said on him on radio, on TV, in the newspapers, Le Parisien, France Football, all of that. And maybe that's more of an impact on him than other players back home or in other countries. Certainly, he reads all his ratings and all the little comments and all of that, and he's certainly, well, clearly quite sensitive about it. So, but again, he's still young, but he will learn very quickly that in every country, if you're a footballer of a standing, if you don't score or don't do well, the critics are pretty quick to come on you, and I think that's just normal, that's just natural.
Look at Jules raising above me, trying to have a cheap shot.
That sounds a little bit of a threat, doesn't it? That sounds a little threat for Jules. Right, I'll tell you what, if you don't like it now, just you wait.
You wait. Get ready. All right, thank you very much, everyone. Where are we going now? Transfer Talk website. Be sure to go over to ESPNSC.com, check out all the latest rumours surrounding Mbappe and Haaland.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Just a reminder, you can always catch up on our latest videos over on our YouTube channel. You can subscribe to ESPN FC. We've got exclusive interviews there, including Alexis Nunez sitting down with Scott McTominay, where she talked about some of the best players in the world.
What's the best player in the Premier League right now, in your opinion?
Best player in the Premier League? Well, a raise Man United players of that, because there's two or three that I could say from my team. It'd have to be De Bruyne. It would have to be De Bruyne. He is so good. The way that he plays the game as a midfielder, number 10 slash number 8, who's so influential in every game that he plays, is top draw. But as I say, there's other people who come into that category as well, who are going off form and different things like that. But he's been extremely consistent. So, yeah.
He is. De Bruyne. De Bruyne is a good shout, man. Best player in the world right now.
Messi.
You can take yourself out of that if you want.
I'll remove myself from that category. No, I'm joking. No, Messi, 100%. Yeah, Messi. I got his shirt, you know. So whenever we played against him for Barcelona, Chris Smalling's elbowed him and he's got all blood coming out of his nose. And he thought it was me, because I said to Sergio Romero, I said, Sergio, please, can you ask Messi to get his shirt and stuff like that? So he said to Sergio's come back in and said, oh, like he thinks you were the one who's elbowed him on the halfway line. I says, no. Tell him it wasn't me. So make sure I get that shirt, because that's going in my bedroom. So yeah, he knows it wasn't me. Sorry, Chrissy, but yeah, he was the one who was like, rough him up a bit.
Gasps in Cristiano. Best opponent you've ever faced, I suppose, like toughest wise, or one that just literally left you like, now he's got too much sauce.
Yeah. I'd, obviously, we'll take Messi out of that because we've already said him.
Yeah.
I'd probably say Eden Hazard, the way when we played against him for Chelsea. I was a younger kid at the time. I was 20 when we played against Chelsea. Just not played many games. And Jose Mourinho played me against Chelsea. And I just remember it. Not a reality check, but because I played well. I did well and I was pleased with the way that I played. But I remember it was semi a bit like a reality check. Like, oh, this guy's, he's sharp, boy. Yeah. Especially for me, he's little, low centre of gravity, so he's tough to get to, you know what I mean? So, yeah, he was super sharp, super smooth, and a good guy as well, nice person.
Let's welcome to the show now, shall we, Stuart Robson and Don Hutchinson joining Stevie. I just want to go back to the shirt-swapping story there from Scott McTominay. Stevie, you've told us before, basically, you had two shirts the whole season at Liverpool, so you weren't really allowed to swap shirts. Robbo, I imagine you would be in a similar situation, and even now, you wouldn't be the most willing to swap shirts with anyone.
No, why would I want to swap shirts? You know, you just play the game, you get on with it, you've got blood and sweat on your own shirt. I don't want to swap with somebody else, thank you very much. You know, you've just been kicking each other for the last 90 minutes, so I don't want to sort of, yeah, have their shirt just to prove it.
Oh. You know what's even worse? What? Even worse is when you actually see them putting it on once they've swapped it. Imagine the smell.
But it's messy sweat. And what a moment to be immersed in that. Oh. Something special. Now, Don, you're a little younger than the other two gentlemen. Were you of a generation that would swap shirts?
Yeah, the older I got, I sort of realised, not the importance, but what it would be like to, you know, swap shirts. And when you play, especially for your country as well, you get the chance to play against some unbelievable players. So I would probably say the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 years I started to swap shirts. So in the end, I built up a good collection. When you're young and you're at clubs like Liverpool, you daren't even ask the staff if you could swap a shirt. They would just absolutely rip your head off, Stevie knows. So I think when I got to about 28, 29, I started to collect one or two.
And what's your prized possession, Don?
I think it would probably be Lothar Matthäus.
Wow.
When Scotland beat Germany in Bremen and I scored the winning goal. And I was number 10 and he was number 10 and I asked for his shirt and I took my shirt off, give him his shirt and he gave me mine and he took his shirt off sort of a little bit awkwardly, sort of a different way to how I took mine off. I just sort of take mine over my head and give him my shirt.
Detailed story.
What did he do?
Because I'll explain why.
Hold on. Oh, I'm struggling.
No, hold on. Well, I'm sort of loath to say he took his shirt off like a girl because when girls sort of take the shirt, they sort of took it off like that.
Right.
And then when he took it off like that, he left his captain's armband in the shirt. So I've got a beautiful number 10 Germany shirt, Lothar Matthäus, and the armband.
You could have told the story without the rest of it.
Yeah, dear.
All right, it's just the way he took his shirt off. It was just different to mine. I thought it was.
And did you then put that shirt on? And how did you put it on, Don?
I did put it on because I think there's some pictures of me on the internet of me wearing Lothar's shirt.
Oh, and how was the smell? This seems to be an issue that Stevie has with the shirts.
German.
Yeah. I want to know how he. I'm more intrigued to know how he put it on. That's the big story here.
Smooth, Shaka. Very smooth. And he got my Scottish pink salmon one. Lucky him.
Oh, dear, that's in the bin. Shaka. Shirts.
Keep us just swap it with other goalkeepers.
Right. Know?
And so it's only when I played against somebody who I admired for whatever reason. Or at the World Cup, I swapped shirts then, but I don't have many others.
Oh, okay.
And we always took our shirts off like, we were quite
so
normal.
Who did you swap with?
Huh?
Who did you swap with at the World Cup then?
It was Robinson in goal for England and I can't remember who it was for Sweden. Yeah.
Robert, I feel like you look down at your nose at all of this.
Yeah, I mean, I've got one decent shirt. It was an under-21 game, and I think I swapped shirts with Viali, who scored the goal for Italy, and I scored the goal for England.
So you did swap shirts, Robbo.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
But not the match shirt. Not the match shirt. You swapped in the changing rooms afterwards because you had two shirts.
I thought you swapped the shirt you wore into the game on the bus.
This really surprised me. I can't imagine you, Robbo, asking for someone's shirt, given you the way you are.
Hang on, Dan. I didn't ask for his shirt. He asked for mine.
Yeah.
Love it, Robbo.
I did swap one shirt.
Oh,
here we go.
I did swap one shirt. He just reminded me. Yeah, under-21s with Sammy Lee when we were teammates at Liverpool. That was the only one.
That's nice. Did you wish that you'd swapped a shirt with somebody, Stevie, prestigious that you'd played against?
No,
it's a surprise.
That would have been a perfect fit as well, you and Sammy Lee, wouldn't it? The shirts would have been exactly the right sizes.
It depends how we would take it off.
There we are.
That's where they pulled it over my head. Or over my backside.
Frosinetsky done the same.
Don, did you ask for someone's shirt and they custard pied you, ever?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I asked for Prozaneski's shirt. He was kind enough to give me a shirt as well. So don't think anyone really custard pies anyone. It wasn't a done thing back then. If it was someone was nice enough to ask for your shirt, it was like a respect thing, wasn't it? So I wouldn't custard pie anyone, and I was lucky that I didn't get any.
Just a reminder, these boys are joining us once again on Extra Time. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to check it out. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. These were the scenes in the North Macedonia locker room after they pulled off one of the biggest shocks in World Cup qualifying history, defeating Germany by 2-1. A German side, let's not forget, who hadn't lost a World Cup qualifier since 2001. Let's welcome in, shall we, Archie Rintutt for more reflection on this. Archie, you've come very much prepared for today's show because you know traditionally I'll ask you, what's the reaction been like in Germany?
Indeed. I can tell you what the reaction's like in Macedonia as well, if you like.
Not yet. No, let's get the German one first. God. Hide the headline.
All right. Well, funny you should say that, Dan, because...
Why? What do
people
you have?
Here, I've got some newspapers. And... This is good, isn't it? Yeah, so look, here's what the Berliner Courier are saying today. They're saying that Yogi's boys play laughably again.
Oh,
then
dear.
You've got the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, who are talking about a böses Erwachung, a rude awakening. Put that more in the camera. There we go. Anyway, that didn't quite work, did it? Neue Abbruchstimmung.
Oh, what does that mean?
That means new breakup atmosphere because of the because Joachim Löw going was one breakup and that was another breakup.
Oh,
being started for Germany. Do you see what they've done there? But yep. I think most simply for people like you and me, Dan, erbärmlich.
Oh,
say build.
What's that? Embarrassing.
Which means pathetic.
Oh, wow. Who has been taking the brunt of the criticism? I imagine is it a Timo Werner, Jürgen Love split?
Yeah, I think that's about it. The fact that Uli Hoeneß, Bayern president, was left speechless on live German telly last night, that tells you that something quite grave has happened because Uli Hoeneß has something to say about literally everything. Joachim Löw is always been in the firing line. I think that here he maybe could be let off a little bit for not changing his lineup for the third game in a row because of the injuries that he's had to deal with at the back. But still, you would have expected Florian Neuhaus to play in central midfield. You would have expected Timo Werner to perhaps start up front. But we shouldn't forget, Germany had enough high-quality chances in this game to win it easily and at key moments missed chances. They had more chances in this game than they did when I was in Duisburg to watch them play against Iceland. So this is entirely at their own feet. But I think we also shouldn't forget that it's results like this that make football great. It's the fact that we know that Bayern Munich this season have lost games. We know that Manchester City have done that as well. And I think sometimes at international level, we can lose sight of that because we think that every single time that the favourite has to win. But thank God it's not always like that.
No, but it's Germany. It's Germany who never lose World Cup qualifiers, Archie. It's Germany who we thought maybe a turn a corner. We talked before, didn't we, after that 6-0 defeat against Spain. After that, Jogi Löw saying, look, I'm going to leave at the end of the summer. We thought, well, that has kind of galvanised the side. But then that has just now completely fallen out the window.
Well, here's the thing. In the same way that for all the clubs, the international breaks change everything. Just look at what's happened to Bayern with Robert Lewandowski's injury. I think that there's still a long way to go in terms of the squad selection now, between now and May, when Joachim Löw picks his final squad. And we'll see what injuries and whatnot have occurred by then. I think that Joachim Löw's got into a game of second-guessing himself, and it's why it's overdue that it's time for him to step down, even if, having won a World Cup, he deserves maybe a little more credit than he's received. I think that he keeps setting himself these standards that he feels he then has to stick by. So, for example, before this batch of three games against Iceland, Romania and Macedonia, he said that, you know, now was the time not for experimenting. It was just about winning all three games. But in the process of that, it then meant that he maybe didn't rotate as he would have wanted to because he didn't want to lose face. That's often the thing with Joachim Löw, is that he does some rotations that people are often left scratching their head about and wondering, why has he done that? Playing Toni Kroos out on the wing in the Euro 2012 semi-final still has people scratching their heads over here, even if he did win the World Cup 2 years later. So the thing in Germany is, Dan, everyone is working off such unbelievably high standards. Every post-match interview sounds like a stern parent telling their kid off. And that's even when they win. It's always like, you won 3-0, but the second half was poor.
Yes, but they did lose against North Macedonia, Archie. And maybe now's not the time to bring that up. But overall,
I think that it is something that plays into it all the same.
Overall now, Jogi Löw, we understand that he will be safe until the end of the Euros, where he already said he's going to leave. Is there a scenario in which he won't be coaching them at the Euros this summer?
I don't think so. I can't really see that, because the German FA want time as well to appoint a successor to Löw, whether it is Ralf Rangnick, or as Bayern Munich very much don't want it to be and have categorically ruled out through CEO Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, Hansi Flick, even if all the noises from Hansi Flick are not a straight bat no. He has left the door open, shall we say. I think that the DFB want time to find the right solution, but I really can't see any way that Joachim Löw is not coach of Germany. Also, I think that they're going into this tournament now because of the Spain result. They were already going in with low expectations. They're going in with even lower expectations now. And actually, that's not a bad thing to be going into a major tournament with, even if in their group they have France and Portugal, and those are their first two games. So the pressure is going to be on right away.
Archie, you are the epitome of the glass is half full. Look, we lost to North Macedonia, hence the bar is now so low. Anything we achieve will be overachieving and people will be happy.
This is a Fulham fan speaking to you.
Ah, well.
I've learned to try and be optimistic in the most pessimistic situation.
Very, very similar situation. You take a look at the German squad, obviously. No Müller, no Boateng, no Hummels. That's got to change now, hasn't it?
Yeah, the fact that Löw is still, again, coming back to this wanting to save face, this idea that he has to create a team for the future. He said he'd swept that under the carpet. And it's like, well, if you're sweeping that under the carpet, why not do that now? Why play centre-backs in Matthias Ginter and Antonio Rudiger, who know that they're effectively about to be taken out round the back and be told, sorry, lads, you're not going to be playing in the Euros, at least in the case of Matthias Ginter. So I don't see any way that Thomas Müller is not in that squad, or indeed Mats Hummels. There's a question mark over whether he'll take Jerome Boateng. I don't know why, because I think that Hummels and Boateng still remain the best two centre-backs in Germany. So it has to happen, and I think it will happen.
Jagger, let's talk about Timo Werner. Hmm. How does this happen?
I echo the sentiments of the guys on the show yesterday. I just don't know. How do you explain a miss as bad as this? How do you explain the plummeting of confidence you've seen from Timo Werner? He put it down to an introduction into a new league and an adjusting. But oftentimes when players are struggling in their domestic leagues, especially when it's when they are playing outside of their home countries, representing their country is such a respite.
Yeah.
Going back home to a country, a culture, a language that you know, to play in a style of football and alongside players who you've known most of your life. And that's where you find their most joy. That's where you find them relaxing and rediscovering their love for the game and their confidence. Yet you seem to see the exact opposite from Timo Werner here, where he's just taken that poor form from Chelsea and doubled down on it in a German shirt. And it's hard to explain, harder to accept. And now the challenge is, how do you get out of that slump?
Yeah.
Where do you find the football and the goals to rediscover your confidence? Because you've used both your lifelines.
And North Macedonia are embracing Timo Werner as one of their own now, Archie.
They are, indeed. So I have a Macedonian friend who sent me this morning saying, have a look, Timo Werner has been made an honorary citizen of Macedonia after, as she put it, Macedonia ja pregazi Germania. Macedonia wiped the floor with Germany. So they're having a blast over this. And as Goran Pandev put it rather lyrically on his Instagram, miracles happen in football too. So a very big moment for Macedonia as well. Aside from this, I know from having a Macedonian friend that they are constantly seeking recognition just as a country, let alone on a football pitch. So for this last night, it was a very emotional moment for them.
Archie, as always, thank you very much. Congratulations for having a friend as well. That's always a bonus. For a lot more reaction.
You know all about that, my friend, huh?
For all more reaction to what we saw take place in Germany, be sure to download the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Jana Agafjortov, their special guest. The Premier League resumes this weekend. Manchester City are going to, of course, win it. So we thought with 8 games to go, we'd ask the boys to give us their Premier League team of the season so far. As we welcome back Jules to the show, along with Don and Stevie. And where do we start with Don? You're starting 11. Don, go for it.
This is incredible, this starting 11, by the way. I'd be surprised if the boys get anywhere near this 11. Kasper Schmeichel in goal. Kieran Tierney, future captain. Ruben Dias, 23, emerging already as the best centre-half in world football alongside John Stones. Oh. João Cancelo's had a brilliant season. Goals have gone for midfield with Gundogan and Soucek. Saka's been probably Arsenal's player of the season. Kevin De Bruyne, the new Paul Gascoigne, Jack Grealish and Harry Kane. Goals, goals, goals.
So people are going to be shouting at you, Tom, particularly ones with Manchester United shirts on, going, where on earth is Bruno Fernandes?
Well, if my team doesn't get any penalties, that's all that Bruno Fernandes scores. I say that loosely.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Julian, his beautiful flowing hair, does have Bruno Fernandes with Gundogan, Rafinha, Son, Kane. Wow. A lot of love for Spurs players, considering they haven't been that good, Jules.
Only two.
Well, there's no...
They're two best players. I mean...
You've got three Manchester City players. That's it.
Yeah, because I think Fofana deserves to be in there. He's had an incredible debut season in the Premier League at such a young age. He's really impressive. Emi Martinez has transformed Aston Villa, really. Cancelo and Diaz, no problem. Tierney as well, I agree with Don. And then I think Rodri. No one has recovered the ball more than Rodri this season. He's been incredible in front of the back four. And at least he will defend more than Suchek and Gundogan in Don's team. Gundogan has to be there. Bruno, of course. Bruno has to be there. Incredible impact on the league and on United.
Yeah.
And then Son, 13 goals, 9 assists. No one can beat that, certainly not Saka. So my team is definitely much better than Don's.
Oh, leave off.
Stephen.
Sorry, mate.
You're on the edge of your seat here.
Do you know what? I was trying to think if I would put Mason Mount in before anybody. I mean, if you go by the numbers, then the likes of Saka and Son have got better numbers. But if you go by influence... Surely Mason Mount had a huge influence on Chelsea. I mean, he's pretty much, in my opinion, one of the first names on the team sheet, whether it's Frank or Thomas Tuchel, and he's He's certainly on the team sheet for England as well. So I'm wondering whether Mason Mount, Rodri. I would probably stick with Souček over Rodri just because of the goals and the difference. Again, the influence that he's had on West Ham. Not to say that Rodri hasn't been fantastic. Back four, I've got no problem with at all. Cancelo, Stones and yeah, Diaz has
I,
to
I
be
suppose, I suppose
one of the main reasons they're back up there.
Yeah.
And so, and Tierney at left back.
Don, I think looking at it, you would have Luke Shaw and you over Tierney.
Do you know that was the one, Dan? It was Luke Shaw or Kieran Tierney. It was a 50-50 choice. And I just went for Tierney just because of the impact. I think that he's had at Arsenal. Luke Shaw's had an unbelievable season.
But United are second in the table and you haven't got any United fans.
Don't just hate
it, man. It doesn't matter where you are in the league. I'm going off
well,
my
eyes.
Well,
that's right. What incredibly ridiculous statement that is.
Well, it's not. Well, it's not because Jules has got Rafinha and I've got Saka. So,
yes, but you don't have Bruno Fernandes. You're wrong in that sense, Don.
Neither of them is second.
It doesn't matter where you are on the table.
So Tierney and Shaw, Dan.
Yes.
Tierney and Shaw, right. Surely it's harder for Tierney to stand out in a struggling side than it is for somebody like Shaw, who's in a team that's in second place, and obviously it's easier to stand out. So will you not have Tierney before Shaw because of that?
I don't think so. I think Luke Shaw's had such a good impact this season that this anti-Manchester United bias that is running through the veins of pretty much everyone on this show...
Not me, Dan.
..is becoming embarrassingly evident.
Not me, Dan.
You'd have Luke Shaw.
I totally agree. Don Hutchinson has representatives from the top... Everybody in the top six of the Premier League,
yeah,
except Manchester United.
Yes.
If that isn't Manchester United bias, I don't know what is.
No, it's ridiculous.
I just don't know.
Well,
we sat here listening to pundit after pundit saying that Bruno Fernandes has fallen off and he's tired. Oh, he's had too many games. I've sat and listened to it for 6 months. And as Don says, if they need penalties or free kicks...
Wait.
Well, then put Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in.
Who are you choosing at the moment, Stevie?
Oh,
Bruno Fernandes or Saka?
Well, that's not the question. The question is...
That's not the question.
Kevin De Bruyne. It's De Bruyne. Because that's where he plays. It's De Bruyne's the number 10. So it's De Bruyne or Bruno Fernandes.
It doesn't
De Bruyne
have to be,
all day long.
It doesn't have to be either or. It's not either or, is it? It could be an and. Put an and in there.
Well, no, because I wouldn't expect Bruno Fernandes to play on the right-hand side. I'd expect to play as the number 10.
Look at your holding midfielders, Don.
If you have a squad of second-rate players, apparently, and they're second in the league, then put the manager in.
Oh...
Let's just go back to Julian's team. Right? He's got Rodri as a defensive midfield player and Rafinha. I mean...
Yeah, by the way,
what,
Rafinha...
You're trying to shop
that is
there,
a complete...
Or...
Aye. Yeah.
What's the problem with Rafinha?
Yeah, I don't know where you pulled Rafinha from.
Well, yeah. He's not Saka,
why
is he?
Why would you?
Rafinha is having a great season
why
with
would
Leeds
you?
And Bielsa.
Is he
got better numbers than Saka.
No.
Better
yeah, according
than
to Dan,
Saka on his team.
Oh, his numbers.
Yeah, but according to Dan, Leeds are below Arsenal, so you can't have a Leeds player in, according to Dan. You've got it behind the league table, apparently.
Hey, don't throw me into this. You stand up for your own blooming argument, Don. Don't use me.
I'm backing my team.
Hey, you started
to
it,
Julian's
Dan.
Team.
Yeah.
I'm backing my team to win this 5-2. I've got
no
goals
way.
Everywhere.
No chance.
I've got goals
chance.
Everywhere.
No chance.
Who was your
Souček
manager?
Scoring.
Who was your manager, Don? I didn't see.
Pep.
Pep? Makes sense. Surely yep. Everyone's going to choose Pep, aren't they, Jules?
No.
Nah. Pep who called Arrigo Sacchi in November when he was losing, saying like, oh, can you help me? What do I need to do? Juan Malilo is doing all the job for him anyway. So I'm joking, by the way. I go for David Moyes. I think David Moyes' season in West Ham deserves to be manager of the season.
That's right.
Shut up, Shaq.
That's
you
absolutely
don't, you don't
right.
believe that. Who are you
David
having as manager?
Can't be right.
Are you having as manager of the season? No, manager of the season, Stevie.
I'm going to go with Pep just ahead of Moyes, though. I mean, let's be honest. West Ham, apart from Don Hutchinson, everybody else had West Ham in this relegation zone.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they look as though they've got a chance at the top four. That's a fair old turnaround. But if I had a choice of the two, I'd probably have to go with Pep.
Oh, his smug face. You said last year they're going to finish top four, Don. Don't start hang your hat on that. Stevie doesn't remember when you said it.
My timing was just a little bit off, Dan. I said West Ham would be in the equation for Champions League football. My timing was off.
Oh, there we are. That'll fill a bit of the show. Just a reminder, the Premier League is back this weekend. Standout ties, Leicester take on Manchester City, Arsenal against Liverpool on Saturday.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Easter also affects the Serie A schedule. No games on Sunday, so all of them on Saturday. All of them on ESPN Plus, with the exception of Bologna against Inter Milan, which is live on ESPN2. That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned for extra time. Shaka, of course, with me. Stevie, Don and Robbo answering some of your tweets. Be sure to stay tuned to check it out. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Shaka Hislop with us in the studio. We also welcome Don Hutchinson, Stuart Robson and Stevie Nicol to the show. Stevie, people want reactions to this stat that was published today. Players who wear gloves in the Premier League make half as many tackles on average than those who don't. Soft.
Goalies?
we always say that you can't always go by stats, but on this particular occasion, I 100% will go by stats.
Robbo?
Soft.
You can't wear gloves and play football. It's impossible. It's just pathetic. Pathetic.
No, I'm with the boys. I find it weird when I see players just about to run around at a million miles an hour for 90 minutes, got skins and gloves and tights and hats on and snoods and this, that and the other and a warm-up, and I'm like, just run around, man.
That was an April Fool that was put out today, but obviously... just stereotyping gloves-wearing people. How does Shaka feel about his Werner as top goal scorer in the Premier League prediction?
I predicted that.
Apparently so.
That's an April Fool's joke.
What, from you? Back in...
I did not say that.
In August?
I need proof.
Oh, this person's going to make it up just to be nasty, aren't they?
Yeah, they will.
No.
You will.
Well, I wouldn't. I'm only nice, Shaq. Timo Werner, you don't think he's going to do
it? I did not say that. No. I'm not going with that at all.
What percentage chance does Don give PSG now that Lewandowski is out for both legs?
Ooh.
Well, he's got to remember what he gave you the first time.
He doesn't remember what he had for breakfast. I can't remember that. I've not been asked that before.
So how can he get...
50-50. Keep it down the middle. Right.
50-50?
Right for Don there, yeah. Don to another Don.
Yeah? You going 50-50, Robbo?
No, I'm going to go 40% PSG, 60% Bayern Munich.
Oh, Stephen.
Yes, and we're all both.
If Tottenham don't qualify for the Champions League, Shaka, Mourinho should be sacked or not?
I don't think he will be sacked.
Should he be sacked?
I thought he should have never gotten the job. I don't think it was a good fit. I don't think he should have ever gotten the job. I just don't think he was a good fit at Spurs.
So he should be sacked?
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah, sack
him. Let's just go with that.
People are telling me you said Aubameyang, Shaka, apparently is top goal scorer.
Did I?
Yep, it's just another bad pick. Shaka, do you
got
think...
Got time yet?
Yeah,
it's come good time. In a minute.
Shaka, do you think it's better that West Ham finish in the Europa League spot instead of the Champions League spot, as they would stand more of a fighting chance in that tournament?
No.
Because you can go group stage, what? Get eliminated, off you go.
Who wants to finish fifth instead of fourth? That don't make any sense to me.
What?
Well, you right, Don? What's happened?
That's the most ridiculous question I've ever heard.
Well, they are. The handle is Lingard is the GOAT. So.
No, okay. Because if you go in the Champions League and you don't even qualify, you then go back into Europa League, so you've got double the chance.
Oh, it's a question right up Robbo's alley. Who are the top three centre-backs in Italian Serie A this year, Robbo?
Absolutely. It will be Koulibaly on the left-hand side of a back three. Oh. It would be De Vrij in the middle. I think he's been excellent for Inter. And Skriniar on the right-hand side. They thought he was going to go at the beginning of the season, but he stayed and he's been excellent. So they're the three centre-halves I would have Serie A being the best ones at the moment.
Robbo, why did you drive to a studio from your house but then just joining us on your phone?
Because apparently my Wi-Fi isn't good enough at home, and then when I came here, the studio had broken down and the camera didn't work. So it's great news. So now we're using a phone and silly earplugs.
Oh, the silly earplugs. Headphones. How have you dealt with this, Robbo? These problems, these obstacles, these issues?
As always, Dan, you know I'm very patient.
Yes.
I'm very accommodating. I didn't get annoyed at all. I've just got on with it. I've texted the producer to say, there's no connection. What would you like me to do?
Yeah.
And this is what we've done.
Very calmly. How concerning is it that only Stevie has got wireless earplugs compared to you and Don? But Stevie is, in fact, technologically ahead of you both.
He's actually, not no, ahead of us. There. The last time I was on, I had the most expensive Bose earplugs I could buy, and apparently they weren't good enough. So we put these in.
And Stevie's not ahead of us. His missus would have done that.
How much were these earplugs, Robbo?
Well, I don't quite know that. They're the best ones. My wife bought them for me for Christmas, just right. To keep me quiet, I think.
Yep. Well, yes. Help you sleep. Right, where are we? Can each of them pick a realistic player in modern-day football that is a reflection of their style when they played? Wow. What are you going for, Shaq?
I don't know. I have to give this some thought, Dan.
Yeah?
I really don't know.
Mignolet?
Carrius?
Carrius.
I don't know.
Yeah?
I don't know what the meaning of that was. Well, I don't know.
Don?
I've got no idea. Trying to rack my brains. I've got no idea because I played all over the shop. I played as an 8, played as a 10, sometimes at centre half. No idea.
Oh.
Robert. Well, likewise for me. I played in several different positions. I was never a holding midfield player and I certainly wasn't a number 10, so I did both sides of the game. And there's not
sorry,
too Robert, many
you're
midfield
breaking
players.
Up. What are you saying?
There's not too many midfield players. There's not too many midfield players that can do both sides of the game. You're either a holding midfield player or an attacking midfield player these days. Maybe Gundogan. He does both sides of the game at the moment.
Stevie, you're everywhere as well.
I think we kind of had something similar. I'd said Robbo at Liverpool.
Yeah.
Bit of defending, bit of attacking, bit of everything.
Robbo, as the 3-5-2 and 3-4-3 are coming more ubiquitous, that's not
right.
Ubiquitous.
It's going to become more what?
Ubiquitous. Yeah, no, carry on, Dan, say it again.
You say it, Robbo, what are you saying?
No, I know you say it.
I know it's.
I can spell it, it's on there, so
it's
I know
really
to spell
my lexicon.
It, but I can't say it. Ubiquitous. No, I can't say it.
Stevie, would you like to have a go?
Oh, I can't
do you see know what it means?
I can't see you and I can't see the question.
John?
So how can I do it?
Fashionable.
Sorry?
Fashionable.
fashionable.
It means everywhere. You see it everywhere.
Say what?
You see it everywhere.
I'd have a bit.
That's what
I'd have a better chance of telling you how to say it than tell you what it means. Put it that way.
Shaki, you're the
That's
intelligent
the second one
here.
From Jerome, that is.
I can't see the word from here. I'm going to go with ubiquitous.
Yes, like it.
Ah, that sounds right. Yeah. Yeah.
There a T in there? I can't see the word.
Right. Throughout Europe, what is the next formation you see becoming more prevalent? God, this is the most intelligent whatever. One with a sweeper, one with only one holding midfielder.
Are you asking me that question? Well, I think at the moment we're seeing a lot of teams that they say they're playing with a four, but they don't actually play with a four. They play with what Ancelotti called a 3.5-man defence. It starts with a four. One of the fullbacks goes high up the field. The other one tucks in to make a three. But what I think we will be seeing is a midfield player that becomes a sweeper when they're in possession. We've seen a lot of that. And then they become the midfield player out of possession. Or the other way round. I think De Rossi did it brilliantly for Roma just before he retired. He played as a sweeper when they didn't have the ball. And when they did have the ball and were higher up the field, he pushed in front of the two centre-halves and became a holding midfield player, and he started most of their moves. So I think that's what we're going to go back to at some point.
Since it's April Fool's Day, who's been playing the biggest prank on all of us? Shaka and the science behind his power rankings, Don using percentages, Stevie convincing us that shepherd's pie is delicious, or Robbo telling us that field hockey is a great sport.
Robbo.
I didn't know you were a big field hockey fan, Robbo.
Well, I'm not a big field hockey fan, but they don't have offside. That's all I would tell you. They don't play with offside. And I know a couple of international umpires that say it's the best thing they ever did not to have offside. It's just made the game so much easier. It's made the game so much more entertaining. And you don't get goal hanging because the goalkeeper can come and block all that. So they just play another 10, 15 yards up the pitch. Oh. So it works really well. And you don't have all those problems. Was he offside? Wasn't he offside? Oh, dear. VAR? No, you don't have any of that.
Wow. Your mate Marco van Basten's idea, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you like it?
No.
But with field hockey, it works. Robbo's favourite sport.
Oh, Robbo, go watch field hockey then. Oh.
Stevie, do you like it? No offside? No. If you're listening on the podcast, Stevie is shaking his head.
No, absolutely not. Well, I read an article that said what Robbo had been saying, that it made it a lot more entertaining. There was a lot more players taking on other players. And that was when I stopped reading, because I thought, what a lot of nonsense. Because today, nobody takes anybody on. Rather than go one against one, I'll keep the ball. So then we start and go back to the keeper, or the halfway line, if you're lucky, and then they start all over again.
So but you're just going against your argument. You're just going against your argument, Steve. Because then there would be more 1v1s in a big area of the field and people take people on. We're seeing dribblers again. People running with the ball. Playing with freedom.
Robbo, who when they get an opportunity to go one-on-one, goes one-on-one? They don't. It's one of them. No, keep the ball. So you think all of a sudden there's going to be this complete turnaround and everybody's just going to go one-on-one as if it's like back to school?
Yeah, we started off saying which was the question was who was playing the biggest April Fool's joke.
What have we ever paid any attention to?
What are you talking about?
That was the question.
Oh man. Right, final question. So, Don, what's worse? Shaka's power rankings,
what?
Your mathematics, or Gab trying to wear headphones?
Oh, it would be my mathematics. I mean, my mathematics is shocking.
But look at Gab. He can't wear a headphone properly. He always has that ear flapping about.
I sort of see what he's trying to do there, because he's got one in where he might be listening to a producer, and he's got the other ear clear, just in case there's different noises that he might want to hear.
What different Shaka noises? Power rankings are shocking. It's not a wildlife show.
No, but you might want to hear someone who's in the room. He might want. Look, there's an example. Look, one there. I'm just going to talk to you. Yeah. Dogs barking over there. I can hear that clear as day. Shaka's power rankings are horrendous. I don't even want to get started on them. So, my mathematics.
Ah, here we go. Apparently.
What's field hockey, by the way? What's field hockey?
Well, that's what they call it in America. It's just what hockey to us.
It's hockey.
Grass hockey. Hockey. On an AstroTurf pitch or a grass pitch.
And Van Basten gets paid for these views. He gets a wage for this.
Did you not play hockey at school, Don?
Yeah, but I don't want to turn football into hockey.
No, but did you not play hockey at school, if you don't know what it is? No.
You must have gone to a rough school.
Yeah, you're the one who went to the private school, Robbo.
Exactly.
Yeah. You would discuss it on the show. We'll end. This is you in the. Whose shirt is this? Remind us.
Oh, Lothar Matthäus. There it is.
There you go.
There's no
armband.
Beautiful.
There's no armband on there.
No, it's inside somewhere. I haven't figured it out yet. It was only when I got in the dressing room. Well, I thought that looks a little bit weird. Oh, he's left his armband. Get in there. 1-0 in Bremen.
Oh, congratulations, Tom. That's good. Thank you very much.
Matthäus took his shirt off.
Yeah.
Don put it back on, and the armband was inside the shirt all along. Nobody knew.
Exactly.
Hang on.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
Right on cue.
Look at that.
There it is.
Robbo, what about your house? What do you have behind you? Oh, no, you're at the studio. That's it.
I'm at the studio again, yeah.
Ask him in 2 hours' time.
That's it. Thank you very much. ESPN FC returns to your screens tomorrow. Seb will be here looking ahead to those big games this weekend.